Welcome to the Create the Future with Rick Williams podcast, conversations with leaders who made difficult decisions and built lasting legacies. I am Rick Williams. I speak and write about how leaders can be more successful. My best-selling book, Create the Future, is your essential guidebook for making difficult decisions. This podcast is an opportunity for me and for you to hear how leaders with a wide variety of backgrounds have managed the challenges they faced, made difficult decisions, and had courage when going forward is tough. You will learn important lessons from other leaders. You will find that engaging with our 30-minute conversation will be a great investment of your valuable time. So let's get started. Welcome to the Create the Future podcast. I'm Rick Williams. The Create the Future podcast is a forum for leaders to share their stories about difficult decisions they've made for their company or any organization, and in some cases for themselves. My goal is to share these stories about leadership and making tough calls with a broader leadership community so you will be a more successful leader of your organization. We have a great guest today with a compelling story to tell. We will hear about lessons learned and what they experience. I'm excited to introduce you to Sage Breslin. So Sage, take a moment to introduce yourself and tell us about your journey getting to this moment.
Sure. Whenever I'm asked that question, I always feel like there are a billion directions I could go, but I'll at least give you the thumbnail. I'm Dr. Sage Breslin. I'm a licensed psychologist now covering about 44 states, and I am also a transformation coach. I am the founder of the Sage Wisdom Institute, and I'm also the founder of the Rose System.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about what those institutions are doing. I just want to give you an opportunity to share a little bit about who you are and the important work that you're doing, because I know it is. And so talk a little bit more about what the institutions are doing and their mission.
Sure. So the Sage Wisdom Institute is sort of our parent company. It really houses everything that we do. In addition to being a psychologist and coach working with people in leadership positions, I also do things like leadership development and education and training. I do couples retreats and, work with couples as well as individuals. So I do sort of a wide variety of things, and I have staff that also participate in those activities, retreats and, VIP days and things like that. And so in the Sage Wisdom Institute, that sort of is our, our corporate face. It's our corporate name and houses all of the activities that we do in a very comprehensive way. The Rose System is the work that we do that is very specific to empowering female leaders who have been derailed by toxic relationships. So It is very specific to all the things that we do to enable these women to get their mojo back, regain their confidence, improve their bottom line, improve their ability to experience joy in life again, and really to live a healthy life.
Well, that's great. Okay. So yeah, I know you want to share a story about making a difficult decision. So get us started with a little background and what brought you to the moment when you had to choose to go down the same path or change the path. Get us up to the point where you had to make those decisions.
Sure. I went from having a very broad practice that was focused on trauma recovery, but still fairly broad, saw men and women, actually probably saw more men than women. And I did that for about 25 years. And I then really started to look at where I wanted to go next. Did I want to continue heavy lifting all the time? And all the time meant, I was handling things in the middle of the night. We didn't have AI. You couldn't just send your clone out there to help. I just realized as I had, a family and children and things that were really requiring my energy, I really started to think, okay, how can I do this a little bit smarter? And so I began the work of leadership development, which allowed me to do more corporate work and work with more C-suite level professionals. It really allowed me to fine-tune who I was, my brand, and the packages and programs that I offered. And my marketing team will refer to this time in my life, this wonderful time in my life, as the Coke phase, right? Not cocaine, but Coca-Cola, like Coca-Cola's greatest marketing. They had this wonderful formula. Everybody loved it. Everybody bought it. And then there came this, I can tell that it's a moment, but a time in my life where it really occurred to me that I could no longer just go down that path. And I didn't want my company to just go down that path. I wanted to make a pivot, and albeit a slight pivot, a pivot into something that I felt had more purpose and meaning for me. And my marketing staff will now call this New Coke. Because once I made the decision, it impacted brand and awareness and education and even the activities that I and my staff were doing in a way that I don't think any of us had thought about before, which is when you're clipping along and you've got a great product, service, reputation, and you do something entirely new, you have to rebuild everything from the ground up. And you have to gain audience approval, and you have to sort of redo everything, which was not something I probably thought through. If I look back, I still would do it. I still wouldn't do anything differently, but I certainly didn't understand what the ramifications would be. So the short story is that I have been working pretty hard and was in a relationship that was challenging. And I had five children, the last of which were preemie twins. And I found myself growing more and more unhappy because I felt like I was losing myself. And I noticed I wasn't functioning very well. I was working 50 hours a week, but I didn't have much to show for it. There were months where I didn't even know if I'd make the mortgage. And there was a part of me that didn't even care. And I realized there's something really wrong with me. And as I started to look at it, I started to wonder, maybe this isn't just me. Maybe this is the person that I'm in this relationship with. Maybe there's something really wrong and unhealthy about this marriage. And unfortunately for me, this was not my first go round with choosing people who were not there to support me or do for me, adore me, love me. This was yet another relationship where I was in the lead role of supporter, carer, breadwinning, you name it. And I finally sort of said to myself, I don't think I could do this anymore. I think I really need to be able to leave this marriage. And when I left the marriage, I couldn't get him out of the house, actually. So I kind of a little bit of delay of game there. I just started to feel physically really not well. And I thought, I've got to get some coaching. I've got to go back to therapy. And I did those things. And I finally had the kind of support I needed to finally get him out of my life, out of the house. And I felt better. I still felt physically not so well, but emotionally, I felt better. I felt more like myself. And it was right around that time that I was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. And life kind of shut down. I could be a mom. I tried to work a little, but my energy levels just started to go further and further down until I finally, had to concede that I needed a bone marrow transplant. And there was a problem during the transplant that then delayed my recovery pretty significantly. And I had a lot of time where I had to really ask myself, when I get this business up and running again, do I really want to go back to the same thing, working 50 hours a week, just trying to make the mortgage, not sure whether anybody's really getting any of this, if there's anything really happening that's good that I can be proud of and find meaning in. And I had this incredible experience during a meditation about how I could resolve what was happening with me. And I just followed the instructions that kind of came to me through the ethers, and I began to feel better and better and more like myself and more empowered, to the point at which I finally entered remission, which I hadn't after the transplant. In fact, they said remission is no longer a goal. You just need to try to have a good life for the time you're here. And when I entered remission, I knew with certainty I'm going to begin offering this not just to my patients that I have now, but I'm going to proceed forward and herald this. You know, this is going to be my legacy. And that's when I sort of birthed the ROSE system and what it does. And it was a different approach than I'd ever really felt comfortable offering. But I just knew that it was the right thing to do, and I've never looked back.
Oh, that is wonderful. I mean, not wonderful in the in it's wonderful
Guess
you're
you mean.
sharing the story. You're sharing the story, right? So I'm actually hearing two incredibly important decisions in this. What one was a decision to end your marriage, and the second one was a decision to fundamentally change the way you're doing your practice and your offering of your energies and wisdom and insight to your clients. And I know there are different kinds of decisions, but and I assume what we really want to focus on is okay, you've had now a transformative experience. You have a vision of what can work perhaps for other people, and it's so different from the practice that you did have. Do you change and try to make that work as a business, if we can call it that, or do you go back and try to, redo what you were doing before? So I'm kind of simplifying the quote decisions, I'm calling it, that you
Right.
had to make. And I'm hearing you say that your staff thought you were nuts to be doing this because why? Why would you be changing something that everybody accepts as the way you do this?
Yes. Don't fix
And
it if it ain't broke, as they say.
right, exactly.
Right.
So did you if I'm characterizing this correctly, did you I'm hearing you say that you became convinced by your own experience that this was the right this is a powerful way to work with clients who are trying to deal with their own issues. Did you see that at the time as a decision, or did you see it more as a mission that you had to do? I mean, what did you see was what you was there a decision there, or is it just you said, I know what to do and I'm going to change the way I'm doing this? Kind of talk about that as sort of the process you went through. And my language here is decision making. So excuse me if I'm
Right.
using that in a way that isn't natural to what you're talking about. But anyway, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. The interesting thing was, I don't think it was really per se two decisions, because my decision to exit a very unhealthy marriage was to follow my heart and my soul into self-care. And that is actually the mission I replicated in the work that I do now. It's very much like it's okay to leave and prioritize yourself and your wellness over the de demands or needs of somebody else. As I experienced it, it really felt like one mission becoming a movement. I will say, in terms of decision making, I didn't just sort of go blindly into the night, so to speak. First, I had a lot of conversations with my therapist, and I really had to look at, was I doing this for the right reasons? Was there enough sort of data behind it? So once I did it for myself and I noticed big change, I then took it into my practice as is. And I started just with about four or five different women in my practice. I thought, I'm going to try this. And they loved it. And they had very similar results. And I thought, okay, now we're talking about some data. We're not just talking about me personally. And that was about the time where I invested in actually an expensive coach, which I still, look back, I think I strung three credit cards together, and I said, I've got to have somebody else's input about this because I'm about to make a decision that's really important and it's going to alter how I do my business. And she saw the same thing. She said, all right, let's step by step through this. And she just kept on getting feedback from me every step of the way until she finally said, I think you're in position. I think you, your body, your being are now aligned with that mission and with the kinds of programs and services that you know are the best you can offer.
Well, that's great. So, okay, so ha you and I having this conversation is also developing in my mind this notion of, it's not developing, but elaborating in a different dimension the way that I talk about people who are facing important decisions. And I encourage them to not feel that they have to go through this alone, to get support and advice from teammates, from collaborators, from advisors. And what I'm hearing you say is that you thought you needed, not thought, but you, not, well, you did think it, but you sought advice from your own counselors, and you got some coaching to help you go through the process of deciding what you were actually going to do here. And you very explicitly thought about it that way. That's
Oh, yeah.
you said, gee, I don't think I could do this completely on myself by myself. I need to get some coaching on this,
Yeah.
and
I mean,
you
I think
strung
the thing
together all your
was,
credit cards to do
I think I
that.
just didn't trust myself because I'd been in this disastrous relationship for a long time and I lost trust in my ability to make decisions. And so for me, it was important that I not just trust, what was in my mind or what I wanted to do or even what intuitively I felt like I needed to do. I wanted to run it past not just colleagues, but people that I trusted as advisors and consultants so that I wasn't just leaping off that cliff because it felt good, or it felt freeing, I wanted to ensure that it was the right decision for so many reasons.
Did you pull together some of your own staff or something and talk about these issues with them again as a resource to help you work this through? Or
There are the team that works with me now is about half and half. So half have been with me all the way through, and half are new staff members. And so I look at, who we were as a business and as a brand before the change took place. And I will tell you, the staff that's been there from the ground up all said the same thing, like, God, what took you so long? We've known this for a long time that you were going to eventually pivot into this realm. We weren't quite sure what it was going to look like, but kudos for finally pulling that trigger and getting it done. So, and then the ones who came on after, they don't know the difference, right? This is what they know. This is, they believe in the brand and our services, and so that's a lovely combination.
Well, I don't know. There's no reason. You and I have not, for the people listening, as you and I have not met before. I don't know whether you know anything about my book, Create the Future, or anything like that. And I'm sort of picking a little bits of pieces out of the decision-making process that I am outlining and recommending in my book. And so my question, a couple of questions about the process you use, basically to understand what your experience was actually going through your own process. So one of the questions th that I would put to you is, did you step back at any point in this and say, you know, what am I really trying to accomplish here? And I've heard you talk about that a little bit in terms of your own life and the life you're living and that sort of thing. Did you specifically at any point say to yourself, if I'm going to be in this business, what are my goals for the business? What are my goals for myself? How did you think about success at the outcome as a result of all of this?
Yeah, I probably thought about it and questioned it in a slightly different way. But certainly there was a series of long conversations with myself and with the divine. You know, it was trying to tap into, you know, the spirit of everything that was coming to me. And the most important thing that happened for me during my own transformation was that I was able to finally put my soul back in the driver's seat. That was the most important thing. Because once that was like firmly back in place, number one, I felt like I had this eternal power source that had switched back on and really enabled me to see much more clearly and to feel more empowered and to feel confident that I could do whatever I set my mind to. It felt much more like who I was before. And so as I moved forward, I continued to look at what of my business was soul driven and what of my business would be soul driven. And while I would say I always felt I was very intuitive and very empathic and very compassionate, I didn't necessarily talk with my clients about sort of their relationship with something greater than themselves, a little. But I didn't really push it. I didn't push it to be the foundation. And it became the foundation as I went through my own transformation and as I transformed the business, because I really came to understand that the business would cease to exist unless I was able to operate fully as myself. And that meant it was going to be a soul-driven effort and it was going to be a soul-driven business.
Now, if I was in your shoes, I would be excited by the prospect of empowering others by the experience you've had. I suspect I'd also be afraid of, is this really going to work? Do I really understand what, in my language would be the barriers to execution? Did you think about what was driving you, whether fear, or think about failure, whether failure was a possible outcome? Talk about that a little bit.
I think the word failure went out the window somewhere during my cancer diagnosis. I ceased to think about life that way anymore. You know, there are plenty of experiments that we do that don't work out so well. You know, they don't meet our expectations, or that we don't have the results that we're looking for. But I don't really think about failure. I don't look at that marriage as a failure. I have colleagues who have other words for it, but failure wasn't one of them. So I would say that, you know, the conversations I had with myself and with colleagues and with consultants were, what is this going to look like in practice? How is it that you are going to create a meaningful life with meaningful work that can be replicated and can, you know, follow a structure? And that was interesting. I got in with another consultant who had a coaching course, and I thought, okay, I'll do that and see, can I construct this in a way that is time tested? You know, other people have constructed things in this way. Will that work for me? Well, lo and behold, it worked just fine. You know, I was more than capable of saying, all right, I'd like to look at a year-long process, because that is a reasonable chunk for recovery of this kind. It's probably not as long as I would suggest for many people, but it's also not longer than I would suggest. So I thought, okay, I'll take this year. All right, there are 52 weeks in a year. Am I going to work 52 weeks? Not exactly. You know, I'm going to try to have times in there where I can also have time off. And I began to build a structure for what I knew would need to happen in order for it to work. It became a 10-step process. Now, there are people that I've worked with where those 10 steps they may not even go exactly in the right order, or what I think is the right order. And they may go, this first step maybe took 6 months instead of a month. Everyone's a little different in how it plays out, and I can individualize anything. I know the steps are still the same. And so I was able to do that. I was able to create worksheets. I was able to create all of this very rich content and structure that allowed me to have a business that could be replicated by my team members, by, myself, that we could market it, we could talk about it, and we'd still be talking about the same things. I will say, who I am as a clinician is richer and more passionate now, like richer emotionally, psychologically, energetically. But the work I do, like the goal I have, is still the same. It's just looking at a, a slightly different niche. Now, instead of men and women in leadership roles, I work mostly with women. I still work with men, but this particular program that I've developed is for women. And I've done that for a very specific reason. I think that our world has gotten to an interesting and critical juncture. And I think that having old soul women at the helm and at the helms in so many different industries and levels is probably where we're going to find real and enduring change. So I definitely know that I had a very specific goal, and I'm hoping to see that goal come to fruition in my lifetime.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've got to wrap up here in a minute, but let me just talk about how you managed yourself in this. And your story is particularly compelling because of all of the medical challenges that you had to go through, which were threatening your life. So, I mean, it's not, oh, gee, I have to make a decision for this company, and if it doesn't work out, I'll go do something else. How did you manage yourself in terms of your mental, staying mentally engaged with this, your physical, your exercise or sleep, or did you think about taking care of yourself personally as you went through this in a way that would be worth sharing?
I mean, I think if you look at, some folks who have really redesigned their lives after a big medical crisis, Hal Elrod did the Miracle Morning, and that has become the Miracle Morning for realtors, for lawyers, for, he is great at replication. He had a massive medical issue, and he redesigned how he lived his entire life, and that meant his business as well. I definitely had to take the same approach. I'm a person who, I used to get up early and go trail running and then get my kids to school and do the whole day, come back, rinse, repeat, and I can't do any of that. I don't sleep well because of some of the issues with my diagnosis. And so I've learned to be a person who starts the day a little bit, later, and I don't work as long. And my oncologist and I made an agreement. I don't ever work 2 days in a row, other than, every once in a while I do a podcast or something on my day off. And that's because my body requires recovery. I have a very challenging rare cancer that is in remission. And if at any point in time I don't follow the rules, it will simply stop responding to the medication. And I will be at death's door again. That is just something about multiple myeloma that's how it works. So I have to constantly be vigilant for my self-care, physically, emotionally, energetically. So yes, everything is designed to ensure that I stay healthy so that the business can operate well.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you one question. You and I, before we started this recording, talked about the fact that you're in New Jersey, and I don't know whether you spent time going to the New Jersey shore or not. I grew up in Maryland, went to the Maryland shore when I was growing up. One option for you is to just, heck, why am I doing all this? Why don't I just go to the shore and just relax? And my question is, where do you get the courage and the stamina and the determination to keep doing what you're doing, which is so important for so many people.
Yeah, we old soul women, we were put here on this planet to heal, uplift, and serve others. It's a mission, and it's not a mission that I can ditch, you know? It's a divine mission. It is what it is. Some days I'm more tired than others.
Yeah.
And, I think there will come a time where, playing at the shore with my grandchildren is all I want to do. But at this point, I still have so much passion to uplift women so that these leadership roles in their lives, whether family, community, teams, corporations, the country, whatever it is, so that they can do that. I really feel like I'm going to make this place a better place for my children and grandchildren and, God willing, great grandchildren. And if I can just keep on doing what I do to enable that to happen until such time that I just decide, okay, yes, I'd rather just be staring out the window or staring out the porch at the sea. I'm all for that as well.
Okay. Well, Sage, thank you for sharing your experiences. You've made a valuable contribution to our understanding of the challenges that leaders face every day. That though everyone is unique, that's why these stories are so interesting. How can, if someone wants to learn more about what you're doing and the Sage Wisdom Institute, how do they, I don't know, get in touch with you or learn more about the Institute. Tell us a little bit about that.
So there are three websites. Sagebreslin.com is the parent website. It's got all the information anyone would probably ever want or need. The rosesystem.com is for women who have been in toxic relationships and want to recover and work with us in some way, either by the hour, by the quarter, or by the year. And then the Sage Wisdom Institute. So SageWisdomInstitute.com is our membership site. So if you want to buy something, if you want to enroll with us, if you want to become a Daily Pearls inspirational member, that is a click. There's a Stripe cart. I want that. I'm paying here. So those are the three websites, and I think all of them give the opportunity to contact me, but I'm also available at Dr. Sage at SageBreslin.com.
Okay, well, great you. Great. Thank you very much. I want to thank our audience for taking the time to engage with our guests and learn from our guests. And you've been a wonderful guest for us. If you have a compelling story to share about making a difficult decision, please contact me. Go to the rickwilliamsleadership.com and then go to the Create the Future podcast section on the website. Again, that's rickwilliamsleadership.com. Remember that you create the future by the decisions you make today. Take time to get your important decisions right and also have some fun. Until next time, be well. What an interesting and inspiring conversation. I hope you found it as valuable as I did. Thank you for listening. Let me know if you have a compelling story to tell about making tough choices for your organization or for yourself. Coming on my podcast is a way to share what you have learned with a wider audience. If someone you know would be a great guest, please make an introduction. I welcome leaders with a story to tell and important learning to share. You can contact me about the podcast at podcast.rickwilliams.com. Leadership.com. That's podcast.rickwilliamsleadership.com. Please share the link to my podcast with your colleagues. They will thank you for getting them access to these valuable conversations. And finally, please give us a great rating on and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Just search for Create the Future with Rick Williams. Thank you for listening to Create the Future with Rick Williams podcast, conversation with leaders who make difficult decisions and build lasting legacies.